America and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host, the most Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Selige and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, so this episode is going to be for February 25th, 2023, last show of the month because it's February and I'm guessing a leap year as well.
No.
But then again, it's also February, so it's the shortest month out of the year, either way. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so what happened this week? Well, we have, unfortunately, a bunch of stupid shit, specifically from within and without the U.S. Specifically, one of our own rep said that there should be a quote-unquote national divorce. We'll be talking about her and her stupid shit. We also had another really nasty shooting that happened, and this one, unfortunately, was a repeat, and we'll explain why. A couple of really awful people are getting their comeuppances, and we'll be describing that. And the Speaker of the House gave a bunch of security footage to probably the worst person who should be getting any of that shit. We got that, and we got a bunch of other stuff that also happened, including one of the right's most infamous figures finally getting kicked out of his own organization. We'll be explaining that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. But before we start any of that stuff, as always, we have to talk about all the things we've been doing up to this point today. So, Chris, start us off. What have you been doing this week?
Enjoying the random weather again.
Mm-hmm.
We had another day in... I got up to about 70.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day was about half that. So, warming up again since then, but... You know, just having fun with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching some stuff. Physical 100 finished up the last episode,
mm-hmm.
Which declares a winner. Really good season.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to see if they do any more of this or is just the one off. But that's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Also been kind of watching Naruto, the original series.
Yeah.
In the English dub is just like a thing to have on when I don't have anything else better to put on or anything.
Right.
And I am in the middle of the Chunin exam.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Orochimaru has done his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Sakura is left defending both Sasuke and Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
We were both out of commission for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe this is when the rest of the Leaf Genin sort of show up to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
And their English dub stuff is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And that show starts off in a dark place than you would expect from it. Because mm-hmm. the whole Zabuza arc is kind of a striking thing to start with as your first big combat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're learning about his whole thing, Haku, the kids sort of getting pushed to their limits,
mm-hmm.
and all that. It's a whole thing. It's very dark. Gets it to a good like mood piece for where the show can go.
Right.
Then the tuning exam at least starts off in a more positive place. It obviously gets back to a lot of that kind of stuff. And also, rewatching this early stuff, it's like the animation is really good in this show. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of good stuff there that makes it a real joy to watch, even for a show that's 20 years old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's been fun. For games, been playing more Theater Rhythm, mm-hmm. Final Bar Line. I have almost beaten all of the spin-off playlists on there. I'm working through mm-hmm. the one that is Theater Rhythm mixes of songs
mm-hmm.
That they've used for the previous games, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I got rid of all the songs that were, or all the games that were less than 10 songs, mm-hmm. and then a bunch of the others that were all the spin-off series. Mm-hmm. So the last one is the Theater Rhythm stuff, and then I'll just tackle all the mainline stuff I have left to do, which is 1 through 6, 8 through 15. Mm-hmm. Though I did 10-2 because that was one of the ones that was under 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the number 2 versions of a few characters.
Mm-hmm.
As they just name it that instead of, you know, something else, I guess. But when you got multiple Yunas and all that, you know, you just got the one option, just number 1 and number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got one crew that I'm trying to level up to 99. Mm-hmm. It's all Final Fantasy VII crew.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud, Red 9, Vincent, and Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of just going through and trying to get some of these quests done that are tough, but even they are not strong enough for some of these, mm-hmm. even though they're about 80, level 80 each. So mm-hmm. still got a ways to go on that stuff, but that's still been fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then also been playing more Rocket League. Season's ending in about, I think, a week and a half now, so I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to get a bunch of these seasonal quests done. So
that's
been pretty much it for me. So how about you, Teresa?
Yeah, Teresa, what about you?
Not really a whole lot. I've been playing Vampire Survivor still. We're working on the unlocks. And then the usual, some Civ 6 thrown in there, some Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I installed Red Dead 2 on my Xbox because it was on the old one. And I haven't actually played yet because it took me a little while to find the other disc. I guess I hadn't put it in the case. It was in one of those little binders for discs. Mm-hmm. But Scott brought home Octopath Traveler 2 this evening, so hopefully I'll be playing that soon. Other than that, I've been watching White Lotus and then just the most random weird stuff. Nothing really. Right? Nothing really of note. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Also not really appreciating the weird ass weather too. It's just like picking temperatures like a lotto machine thing spitting out Powerball numbers. Mm-hmm. 5, 63. You know? It's like, come on, you guys. Cat show today. With some older friends, and that was always wow.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are pretty normal. And then there's some that's not.
Is it like cat adoption or various accessories and fun stuff for them?
They are judging actual cats there.
Okay.
Like a whole, you know, best so color, best cat breed. People.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they did have an alley of sales. And I saw a few things, but I only picked up one thing, and it was a catnip toy. It is really big, and the fabric on it is Shroot Beet Farms, which mm-hmm. is just hysterical, filled with catnip. So that was fun. I did not put it in my purse because I'm not an idiot. But yeah, that was a good time. A lot of walking and a lot of really weird cats, but even weirder owners of the cats. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Haven't been doing a whole lot. What about you, Brandon?
Well, I've actually been playing a couple of different things because, you know, I had access to Game Pass and there was a big new release that happened. And also because I have PS Extra as well, so I decided to also do that. So, the big release that everyone probably is talking about right now is Atomic Heart. Which is free to play on Game Pass. And when people say that this game is basically Soviet BioShock, they're basically giving you the whole picture, because that's basically exactly what this is. It's a sort of... So the story about it is that it takes place in a sort of alternate 1955. Back in the 1930s, a scientist managed to develop a kind of technology that is basically called polymerization. That allows, basically what you need to know is that it allows Soviet sort of technology to skyrocket in a direction that is basically basically impossible. He creates a technology that, among other things, creates the ability to create robots, more or less. Robots of varying kinds and varying functions with varying levels of intelligence that essentially means that the average Soviet citizen really doesn't have to do much work anymore. This basically means that when World War II rolls around and, you know, the Russians end up invading, not the Russians, the Germans end up invading, they pretty much crush the German army outright. I mean, obviously in our timeline, that's also what they ended up doing because, you know, Hitler made the exact same mistake that Napoleon made. Don't try to invade Moscow in the middle of the friggin' winter. But what happens is that then after that, the Nazis end up unleashing something called the Brown Plague, which ends up killing them and a bunch of other people in Western Europe, which basically means that by the time the Soviets get there, they're basically completely unopposed. And so they end up taking over Germany. At the very beginning of the game, they actually make a reference to the, quote, German SSR. So it's not just East Germany, it's all of Germany. Let's see, what else? So, yeah, by 1955, their technology has gotten to the point where they have resorts that are basically hovering in the stratosphere. They have a bunch of robots going around that of various sizes, functions, and intelligence. There's a new technology they're creating called Collective 2.0 that allows people to basically artificially instantly plant knowledge into their head at any time. If they want to learn how to play the piano, they just, and you can play the piano. They don't really say exactly, but something happened to Stalin. Like, they don't really say what happened to him, but basically he's not in the picture anymore by 1951. So basically the purges have long since stopped. And obviously, you know, the game is also, like, plays heavily on, like, Soviet nostalgia. So there's not, you'll see like a bunch of reproductions of like statues and monuments to Lenin and Marx and the reproductions of the Call of the Motherland, which is that huge statue in the eastern part of it's basically related to World War II. There's also reproductions of the worker in Kolkhoz Woman, which is that famous huge statue of, like, the guy holding the hammer and the woman holding the sickle and, you know. And there's also, like, a bunch of Cold War propaganda posters everywhere as well. Some of them I recognize. Some of them were invented specifically for the game. And you're basically playing a guy who is, like, he's a spec ops guy. They don't call him, like, they don't say he's NKVD or KGB or GBU or anything like that. It's just, he's working for this guy who's the big scientist responsible for creating all this technology because he's trying to track down a guy that went rogue at this particular island where they do all this research. And when he gets there, he finds that all the robots have basically gone rogue and are trying to kill every human they can come in contact with for some reason. The voice acting in this game is inconsistent and hilarious. Almost nobody has any kind of accent to speak of. The guy that you play keeps saying the phrase Crispy Critters all the fucking time, and I don't know why. It's like his go-to expletive for some reason, and that is if he isn't using actual expletives. There's this very odd amount of sexualization that goes on. Like, obviously, anybody who's seen any, who've seen the marketing and stuff, have seen the twins, the sort of gynomorph sexy bots that you see a lot of. and they barely play a part in the game. they're only there a little bit. Now, for the record, that isn't in itself necessarily a bad thing, because their design is that they're actually pretty well designed and they're actually pretty ferocious as far as fighters are concerned. But for some reason, so like, you know how in these games you always have to have like a sort of like a console or something used to upgrade and get new weapons and stuff like that? For some reason, it's like a, it looks like an enormous fridge. But it's like got like a bunch of either like an enormous fridge or like a huge vending machine, and it's constantly hitting on you for some reason. And in fact, when you first come in contact with it, it has like these mechanical tentacles that come firing out and is trying to take your clothes off and everything, and it's just really awkward. And it's like, and it's like that every, you know, and it's weirdly sexual like every single time you interact with it. Like I wouldn't mind so much if it was like a running gag, and it kind of is a running gag, but it's just so, it's got such a weird, it's weird. It's weird is what I'm saying. I mean, other than that though, I mean, it is legit very enjoyable. It is a lot of fun. It is also legitimately hard, because these enemies that you come in contact with, not only are they smart, they're also very hard to kill. Especially because ammunition is kind of scarce, and you basically have to get material to like craft more of it, and it takes a lot of material to do it. It's fun, you know. I will say, if you've got any kind of like, how should I put this? If you've got any kind of like sort of problems about the idea that, you know, this is a game made by a company that's backed by like a Russian investor or anything, you know, if you want to play it on Game Pass, go ahead and do that. But pretty much any way you play this game, they're going to end up getting money. So
yeah,
that's just the way it is. But, other than that, also on the Game Pass, I've been playing Hi-Fi Rush, because everybody and their mother had been playing this and telling me, you've got to play this game. And I'm playing it. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's basically a rhythm action, stylish action game that also is gorgeous and funny. And actually, it's just good. It's legitimately good. And the fact that they just kind of sprung this game on us out of nowhere. I'm also playing Horizon Forbidden West, because, you know, it's on the PS Plus Extra, and I've been playing that, and it'd been a while since I'd played the first game. It's good. It's more Horizon, and Horizon was itself fun, and this is also a lot of fun. That's pretty much it as far as gaming is concerned. Now for something really weird. I've been learning about cricket. And I mean the sport cricket.
Yeah.
So what happened is, well, two things happened. One is Gang Grumps. Their recent episode, two of their recent episodes is them playing this like old cricket game from like 2017. And they're like literally learning the rules as they're playing it. The other thing is, I got a book in my possession, written by one of my favorite nonfiction authors, C.L.R. James, called Beyond the Boundaries. He wrote what I think is probably the seminal book on the Haitian Revolution that's called The Black Jacobins, that everybody should read at least once. But this book is basically sort of a memoir that talks heavily about cricket and sort of its history as sort of both a part of like British culture and in some ways also being sort of a agent of British imperialism, because basically every place that's ever had that the British have colonized, cricket has sort of made its way into the culture. And in at least like one case in India, they've ended up surpassing the British. But learning about how the game of cricket is played And what was so weird is the fact that cricket is both in some ways very similar to baseball, and yet at the same time is profoundly different from it as well. So me being an American is me basically having to unlearn everything I know about baseball just to understand cricket. because it's still like it's in that sort of family of ball and bat games, but the way it's played is very, in a lot of ways, very different. And honestly, probably a bit more simple and yet also more complicated than baseball is. Yeah, it's actually, once I, you know, figured out what the rules were, I was like, oh yeah, this is actually fairly simple. Then I tried to explain it to someone and their minds kind of cramped up. So, yeah, so that's what I've been doing. Do you guys want to add anything else before we move on?
No.
No? Okay. So with that out of the way, it is now time for everyone's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And I want to ask you guys, okay, so we're sort of all more or less in the similar age range. So here's a real quick quick question to tell everyone how old you are and how old you can tell that you are. How many of you guys remember the Noid?
Yeah.
Barely.
For those of you who are a little too young who don't know who the Noid is, back in the 80s, and yeah, it's literally the 80s. Back in the 80s, Domino's, which used to be just Domino's Pizza, they had a commercial campaign going that based around this character called the Noid. And the Noid was supposed to be this... he was supposed to be like the embodiment of everything that could go wrong during a pizza delivery, specifically what can happen to the pizza. And basically, the Noid is the guy that gets blamed for it. If your pizza came too cold or it was too hot or like the cheese melted to the top of the box and you ended up pulling off the top of it, or, you know, the pizza arrives too late or anything like that, or the order is wrong, it's the fault of the Noid. And the Noid was this weird little clay animated figure guy wearing this red leotard with bunny ears and a mask that had like an N on his chest, and he's wearing like white gloves and everything. And he always climbs into the pizza boxes and like he'll stomp all over the box, or he'll like dump it into like a freezer or something so the pizza gets really cold. Or he even has what's called the pizza crusher, which is like this sort of combination of like a pogo stick and an anvil that he uses to crush pizzas. And sort of the whole idea behind the character is that you want to avoid the Noid, that's what Domino's does. They had the guarantee, 30 minutes or it's free. It's always, always fresh. It's, the order always gets right, or, it's free. And I specifically remember it because even though the Noid sort of was out of fashion by the time I really came of age, he also had a Nintendo game, of all things, called Yo Noid, that I specifically remember playing. For some reason, they gave him a yo-yo as a weapon, and he's going through all these different weird places. They're like the very first... level is a it's like, do you remember that one level in Super Mario 3 in like the water world where like the platforms kept sinking into the water over and over again, and there's the giant fish going around that'll jump and eat you?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, imagine that, but there's no giant fish, but you always drown if you touch the water. That's the first level.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, so you're probably wondering, okay, so why the hell is he bringing all this shit up? Okay. So, the Noid has always been sort of this thing that came about, that sort of entered the sort of collective memory of everyone, even though the campaign thing, the campaign ended in 1989, and, he's shown up once or twice on Family Guy. He's he's in 30 Rock. He's on an episode of The Simpsons. And then he's even in Michael Jackson Moonwalker, believe it or not.
Wow.
But I had actually thought that the reason they canned the whole campaign is because it had stopped working and, you know, sales were going down. And they decided, you know, it was time to throw it away, get a new campaign. Turns out that wasn't the case. The campaign was doing really well. Domino's sales were up and continued to be really good all through the decade. And, you know, they were selling like little dolls and T-shirts and everything. And they were selling like crazy pretty much for pretty consistently. And then all of a sudden they just stopped doing the Noid. And I wondered why. Why did they stop doing the Noid? And then I found out why. It's because he was the subject of a freaking hostage incident in 1989.
What?
Okay. Here's the story. So back in January 30th of 1989, there was this guy who was named Kenneth Lamar Noid. Yes, that was his real actual name. He was a gentleman who was suffering from paranoid schizophrenia. And he had developed the delusion that the Avoid the Noid campaign was personally directed at him and was specifically trying to antagonize him. So in January 30th of 1989, he entered a Domino's restaurant in Chamblee, Georgia. Yes, that's right, in my home state of Georgia. Came in armed with a 357 Magnum and held two employees hostage for over 5 hours. Now, this comes straight from Wikipedia. After ranting to the employees that the then owner of Domino's, Tom Moynihan, was fraudulent and had stolen his name, he forced them to call the Domino's headquarters to demand $100,000 and a white limousine as getaway transportation for him. After offering to exchange a hostage for a copy of the American postmodern author Robert Anton Wilson's 1985 novel, The Widow's Son, Noid then reneged on his offer when an officer brought him the book. Noid then became hungry and forced the captive employees to make him two pizzas. While he ate the pizzas with his gun in his lap, the hostages both escaped. He then surrendered to the police shortly after. Two shots were fired by Noid during the incident. He was charged with kidnapping, aggravated assault, extortion, and possession of a firearm during a crime. He was found not guilty by reason of insanity. He was subsequently spent time in a mental institution, but died by suicide on February 23rd, 1995. The incident was widely believed to have caused Domino's Pizza to discontinue advertising using the Noid as their mascot, but Domino's themselves claim that this is not the case to this day.
Well, shit. Yeah. Where else do you go with that?
They brought him back in 2021.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the Noid wasn't gone forever. He just took a, I guess, 30-year
vacation?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the story of the Noid. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Okay, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with that, it's now time to move on to just the show proper. That comes after. And as always, we start off the show proper with our assholes of the week. And pony up, because we got a few. First and foremost, a TV reporter and a 9-year-old kid were both killed by a gunman that had escaped from their prior shooting and returned for more chaos. Yeah, this is not just a mass shooting. It's a mass shooting, two mass shootings committed by the same guy within a span of like, what was it, like a few hours?
Something like that.
Yeah.
What?
But yeah, this happened in Florida, Orlando, mm-hmm. Florida. A shooting had happened earlier that day. And this news reporter, Dylan Lyons, was covering this for Spectrum News 13.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, let's see here. It was part of a news crew reporting from the Pine Hills neighborhood on the fatal shooting of a woman in her 20s that happened earlier on Wednesday. The day ended with two others dead and two critically injured.
Mm-hmm.
So they said the suspect in the first killing returned to the scene and opened fire, hitting two reporters.
Mm.
Photojournalist Jesse Walden's the other one who is in the hospital. He then walked to a nearby home and shot a woman and her 9-year-old daughter. The daughter died.
Mm-hmm.
Police announced later Wednesday they had detained a suspect, a 19-year-old, who they say was an acquaintance of the first victim, but does not appear to have connections to the others. Authorities have yet to determine a motive and say it's not clear whether he knew the reporters were members of the media because their vehicle is not clearly marked as a typical news van. And so, yeah, this is a tragedy because, you know, these news reporters, local news reporters, do a lot of work in their community and put them their selves in these kind of situations that they don't expect anything bad to happen. But unfortunately, this person sort of came back for no real particular reason other than just, I guess, to cause more chaos, I guess. So, yeah, that's just awful news.
Yeah. And it's awful.
It is.
So that happened. Now for some good news. Harvey Weinstein will likely spend the rest of his life in prison after sentencing in his L.A. trial was handed down.
Yeah, he's, let's see, 70 years old, already serving a 23-year prison sentence for rape and sexual assault in New York. Has been sentenced to 16 more years in prison by an L.A. judge. So that will most likely ensure that he is done. And will be in jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
As he deserves.
Every single millisecond.
And they're ordering his second sentence to be served consecutively.
Yep.
Meaning that it'll start after he completes his 23-year sentence in New York. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
So, fuck you, Harvey Weinstein. And speaking of more good news, R. Kelly just received an additional year in prison after his Illinois trial sentencing was announced.
Yeah, so this, unlike the Harvey Weinstein, is not the great news you would want, because he, let's see, he was sentenced Thursday in Chicago to one more year in federal prison atop the current 30 years he is serving on a separate federal sentence in New York. That is because instead of making them consecutive, they are having these both be served at the same time. So the new sentence is 1 year longer than the current one in New York. So that's where the extra year comes from.
Yeah.
I assume that by that point he would be transferred back to Chicago or Illinois, wherever the prison is that he would be going to.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got this other news. The killer of Nipsey Hussle, the man who, the person who shot and killed him, has been sentenced to 60 years in prison.
Yeah. Nipsey Hussle is a popular LA rapper that was killed. Let's see. I think it was a few years ago at least. But yeah, this guy, Eric Holder Jr., will likely remain in jail for the rest of his life. He's 33 currently. Will be serving, he was sentenced to 50 years to life for his role in the killing, as well as 10 years for shooting two other people that day. So that is good news for somebody that probably shouldn't be out.
Yeah,
there you go.
And now for some assholery. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has decided to release the security footage from the January 6th attack to Fox News host Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
The absolute fuck.
All like 10,000 hours of it.
Yeah, so you can cut it up to make whatever
dumb
points he wants to make with it. So, you know, definitely not like something that should just stay within the government's control.
Yeah.
See, McCarthy granted Carlson access to more than 40,000 hours of tapes. Nobody's confirmed that he has access to it currently. Not obviously responding to requests for comment. But yeah, that's something that the Democrats are not happy about and are protesting.
Yeah.
For that, so
as well they should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that it could also be something that is just a security risk.
Yep.
For the Capitol Police, being able to get sort of extra footage of the various sort of security measures they have there.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I think that our legislative branch, especially the Republicans, could not be more of a reality TV episode, mm-hmm. they just go and prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then finally, last but not least, for our assholes of the week, Scott Adams went on a weird racist rant and got his Dilbert comic dropped by a bunch of newspapers. It really should say a bunch more newspapers.
Yeah.
He'd already gotten dropped from a bunch already.
Yeah, but he's gotten more. He went on this weird rant about black people being a hate group.
Mm-hmm.
Urged white people to just get the fuck away from black people.
And this weird
clip on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
But yeah, let's see. Gannett Company, the largest newspaper publisher in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
of the USA Today network, and there's various other flavors of that, are ceasing publishing of Dilbert immediately, which covers local media outlets in 43 states, as well as USA Today being a national one.
Mm-hmm.
Saying recent discriminatory comments by the creator, Scott Adams, have influenced our decision to discontinue publishing his comic.
Mm-hmm.
While we respect and encourage free speech, his views do not align with our editorial or business values as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's like, oh, now it's that he's crossed the line.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. All the
stupid shit he's been saying for years.
Yeah.
Has been fine. I think it's more of a thing that these newspapers don't like to make changes to, you know, their comics pages.
Mm-hmm.
That just are supposed to have the same stuff. And it's day after day, week after week, the Cleveland Plain Dealer as well announced that that Dilbert will no longer be published in the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
Because of his rant. Especially said that while they figure out sort of what they're going to replace it with, they're putting just a big gray box that says, you know, new comic coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of taking suggestions from people,
mm-hmm.
For that. But that's a pretty well done article that they link there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, last fall, 77 newspapers owned by Lee Enterprises, mm-hmm. dropped Dilbert.
Yeah.
But that's also seems to be part of their larger move of just scaling back the comic strips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not really an ethical move.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, like I said, this isn't a sudden thing. Scott Adams has been an asshole for a long time.
Yep.
It's just that he has no filter, and he puts his foot in his mouth more times than I care to count. And he finally stepped over like the one line that was left, basically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, fuck him.
Sideways.
And Dilbert hasn't been good for, like, 15 years, so fuck him.
Yep.
But, we do also have some really good news this week. Our hero of the week is the city of Seattle, because Seattle became the first city in the United States to ban discrimination on the basis of caste. One of the people you can really thank for this is City Councilwoman Kashama Sawant, one of the first like openly socialist politicians to be elected to like a major city council position. And I don't mean like a progressive Democrat like Bernie Sanders. No, she's a member of Socialist Alternative.
okay.
Which is like an actual Trotskyist organization. But yeah, this is banning discrimination on the basis of caste as it relates to, you know, the South Asian religious and cultural beliefs. So, and if you notice this, if you did any of this on social media, you'll notice any time this gets brought up, this this story gets brought up, it gets inundated with a bunch of like Hindutva assholes who are like, because they've learned to like weaponize accusations of racism against Indians for trying to do anything to improve the lot of people who are on the lower end of the caste system. But yeah, Chris, go ahead.
They passed this in a 6-1 vote in Seattle City Hall.
Yeah.
With the majority of the council agreeing that caste discrimination crosses national religious boundaries.
Yeah.
And without such laws, those facing caste discrimination in the U.S. will have no protections.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they become the first U.S. city to ban caste discrimination.
Yeah.
And the first in the world to pass such a law outside of South Asia.
Yeah.
So that is a big deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
and, like technically India actually has like laws in place to oppose that, you know, work against that, you know, try to curb discrimination. But unfortunately, you know, caste violence still happens a lot over there. And unfortunately, with the rise of, you know, the BJP, it has only gotten worse. But yeah, so yeah, that happened. Yeah, so good on Seattle for doing that. Next up, well, actually, we're moving on to the proper show proper. And the first story we got tonight is that, unfortunately, another earthquake hit southeastern Turkey. So yeah. That area that was already dealing with that awful shit got hit again.
Yeah, luckily, these weren't as bad as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
A 6.4 earthquake followed by a 5.8, but I believe it's still done some damage, so I don't know if there's any sort of death count specific for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's not going to be as bad for that, but it's probably doing more building damage than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. Lots of thoughts for those people down there. God, it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And now for some other shit. Vladimir Putin announced that they're suspending Russia's participation in the last arms control treaty with the United States.
Yep.
Which was supposed to be like, I think in his mind, this was going to be like the big fuck you to the U.S. Unfortunately, it got overshadowed by President Biden making a surprise trip to the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, while air raid sirens were going off. So.
Yeah. The Putin message was done with their, let's see, ahead of their 1-year anniversary of their invasion of the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, they are the ones who started this war, and we are using our forces to put a stop to it, referring to the conflict in Ukraine, which is not really how that goes.
Nope.
Russia was instigating that for a long time before that.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why Crimea exists.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he, let's see, the assembled audience included uniformed soldiers the Kremlin said had come directly from the front lines of Moscow's special military operation in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledged their significant losses in the war and called on those present to stand for a moment of silence in their memory.
Mm-hmm.
He also promised a range of social support packages for families of the fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Be it much of this piece also addressed economic issues with Putin claiming Western sanctions had failed.
Mm.
So a lot of that kind of propaganda there.
Yeah.
He also said that he was suspending Russia's participation in a critical arms control treaty, New START, in the U.S., though he stressed that Russia is not withdrawing from the treaty. I don't know how that works, but signed in 2010, came into force in 2011, was extended till 2026, caps the number of strategic nuclear warheads that Russia and the U.S. can deploy. The two countries have the vast majority of all deployable warheads. And so, yeah, regular inspections under the agreement, make sure neither side is cheating, were put on hold in March 2020 during the pandemic. But Russia postponed talks to restart those inspections. As, you know, their invasion of Ukraine has kind of put a damper on those kind of talks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then Biden went to the Ukraine and then also Poland, made statements in relation to Putin's speech, saying their support for the Ukraine will never waver. Let's see, when Russia invaded, it wasn't just Ukraine being tested. The whole world faced a test for the ages. Europe was being tested. There should be no doubt our support for Ukraine will not waver. NATO will not be divided, and we will not tire. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Of course, people have also been saying that the war is staged. So, cause...
Yeah, I've been saying that shit, too. We were like, no, you know, I think the war is like a whole, like a hoax or something.
Yeah, because they didn't bomb, you know, where Biden was at. It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't want to get into World War III, at least that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not that stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... I saw, like, today, people were posting a picture of a building that was damaged, I think, from early parts of the invasion.
Yeah, it was, like, hit by a... It was hit by a rocket, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's much better today, and they're like, see, the war's fake. It's like, no, it's called...
Construction!
That's what happens when you don't have, you know, thousands of lines of red tape, like we do in this country, to drag that shit out for years.
Yeah, and have like an effective, you know, infrastructure that can actually repair that stuff in a speedy fashion.
Yeah.
God, our situation over here is so bad, it completely, you know, just warps our perception of the basic shit in other countries.
It can.
How fast things can take if you, you know, actually do things right.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like corporations take over everything.
Yeah. That is happening. And moving back over here to the U.S. God, here we go. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene says the U.S. needs a, quote, national divorce between red and blue states. Okay, so a couple of things I want to say. Number one.
Just a couple?
Okay, there's like 100 things that I want to say, about over half of which would probably get me arrested. But
yeah.
I will say this. Okay, number one, anybody who does even the basic amount of research would know that if the red states did try to secede and make their own country, they would basically turn into a third world hellhole within 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah, like 9 of the 10, I think, states that get the most funding from the government is red states.
Kentucky, yep.
Yeah. Mississippi is like at the very bottom of it. Well, no, West Virginia is probably further down, but
yeah. You're right.
Four of the top five putting into the system are blue states.
Yeah, yep. California and New York both put in hundreds of billions of dollars of tax dollars into the government treasury every year. And California only gets about 60 cents of the back on the dollar from that, whereas, you know, places like Kentucky get close to $2 for every dollar that they put in.
Also, there's just the general thing of there's no such thing as a fully red or blue state.
Yeah,
exactly. It's at least
4% of the other side.
Yeah. Also, even if you seceded all the red states and put them all together, your population would still be smaller than the other ones because... I don't know, you know, you look at all those maps with the red and blue states. The problem with those is dirt doesn't vote.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
You know, Montana and Wyoming may be red states, but how many people even live in those states? And then compare that to like California, which is basically the world's fifth largest economy on its own, and New York, which is extremely dense. And, you know, that's just two off the top of my head. And then finally, number three, bitch, you're in a blue state. All right.
So how Georgia, would you define that?
Yeah.
Or Georgia, which, you know, voted blue in this last two major elections, but
yeah,
all the statewide people are red.
Yeah.
And let's not forget what Stephen Colbert pointed out, that is the most unconstitutional thing that has ever been uttered.
Yeah.
to restrict voting rights in such a horribly flagrant way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not a new thing for weirdos to suggest over the years.
Yeah, it famously kind of had something that like that that happened, say, 100 or so years ago. It didn't turn out well for anyone, except maybe the slaves.
Though it's been more just a whole stupid thing that people say, like, oh, we need, you know, a national divorce.
Yeah.
It's like Rick Perry talked about this kind of thing back in, like, 2009. It says here, we've got a great union. There's absolutely no reason to dissolve it. But if Washington continues to thumb their nose at the American people, you know, who knows what may come out of that.
Yeah, so I think if anything, this also shows, if anything, it shows the death rattle of American conservatism. Because it means that their popularity, their power has gotten to the point where this is the recourse they see left.
Just to make the most extreme threat possible that...
Except they're making a bunch of them at once.
Yeah, they're threats that are never going to be acted on.
Yeah.
And so they're just dogs that bark at everything that goes by them because they can. Versus having anything to actually say or do.
Right.
Zero meaning.
It's just a dog that barks everybody. It's a dog that barks everybody that walks by to be like, hey, 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 look at me. Hey, look at me.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Unless, of course, it involves trans people, in which case, unfortunately, there is a unfortunately bigger than usual, you know, case that it might happen. But that's also kind of the last gasp as well, because that's what they had to degenerate to. They had to bring up this wedge issue and go all in on it. And keep in mind, they lost pretty badly in the last election already, and they still didn't get the message.
Yeah, they keep flying this wrong flag.
Yeah,
with this, you know, cross of stars. I'm pretty sure it's a white flag is the official Confederacy flag.
Yeah.
Also, the Confederacy lasted for like what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
We're still dealing with the fucking fallout of that shit.
Because
they're whiny ass babies.
Yeah. There's so many other things that have lasted longer. Like, I think the freaking Noid commercial campaign probably lasted longer than the Confederacy. The freaking
Aqua Teen Hunger Force lasted longer.
Hey, we're getting a movie, by the way. I mean, we talked about
it. Well, another weeks movie, back, but yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, anyway, moving on from that bitch. New Mexico prosecutors have downgraded the charges against Alec Baldwin in the Rush shooting. Yeah. So originally, wasn't it like involuntary manslaughter?
Yeah. And now they are. Let's see. I think he was facing multiple counts, but now he's facing one count of involuntary manslaughter, a fourth degree felony. It carries a sentence of 18 months in prison. But they've removed what's known as a firearm enhancement part of the criminal code that extends prison sentences when firearms are involved in the commission of a crime.
Yeah, but that's right that they should remove that. I mean, in this situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it wasn't.
Although I'm sure a lot of people won't say that.
Or anything.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah, this. Let's see, it comes more than a week after the actor's legal team disputed the enhancement charge in filings, arguing that the prosecutors had committed an unconstitutional legal error by charging Mr. Baldwin under a statute that did not exist under the state of the accident.
All right. So that happened. Here's another piece of good news. Who here remembers Project Veritas?
Unfortunately.
They don't really, like, they really haven't been, a major newsmaker in the last couple of years. I think they kind of peaked during the Obama administration and just sort of hung on, you know, like a freaking hangnail or whatever on American politics during the Trump administration. Well, James O'Keefe, the guy who founded it, was forced out of the company this week.
Yeah.
Turns out the dude is, well, I mean, we already knew he was an asshole, but apparently he's also freaking terrible with money.
Yeah, and he was voted out by the board.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have fun with that. Of course, you know, the loonies are not happy. I think Laura Loomers especially has been outspoken about that. It's like, nobody cares about a thing you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he announced this on in a video. So currently, I have no job at Project Veritas. I have no position here based upon what the board has done. So I'm announcing to you all that today on President's Day, I'm packing up my personal... And yeah, they've had uncovered financial malfeasance, accused O'Keefe of spending an excessive amount of donor funds in the last 3 years on personal luxuries. Including, let's see, $14,000 on a charter flight to meet someone to fix his boat under the guise of meeting with the donor. $60,000 in losses from dance events. More than $150,000 in black cars in the last 18 months. And I assume that's like Uber Black kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's getting the most expensive rides possible. They're supposedly secure or whatever, but
good grief.
Yeah. So, yeah, but of course, don't cry for him. He'll have a nice golden parachute out on the way out.
No joke.
And he'll be living off that wingnut welfare for the next few years. So, anyway, now for some good news. Over in the UK, many companies are keeping the 4-day work week after a 6-month trial has ended. Yep.
Yeah. That's like this is a good idea.
Which basically means that it's pretty much on its way over here pretty soon.
I hope so. I really, really do.
Yeah. Let's see. Results from a new pilot program at dozens of employers in the United Kingdom showed major benefits to workers' health and productivity when the hours were reduced.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of firms plan to stick with the condensed schedule.
Mm.
They say the results help validate the idea that it's possible for companies to shorten the work week to 32 hours with no reduction in pay while maintaining previous levels of work output.
Mm.
Let's see, it was a collaboration between the nonprofit 4-Day Week Global, the 4-Day Week Campaign in the United Kingdom, and the think tank Autonomy.
Mm.
Included roughly 2,900 workers at 61 companies from nonprofits, manufacturers, and finance firms to even a fish and chip shop.
Mm-hmm.
Ran from June to December of last year. And it seems like workers and the companies like the reported improvements.
Mm-hmm.
You essentially get a pay raise for the amount of hours you're working,
mm-hmm.
But also get 3 days off. That makes you a lot more eager to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to kill yourself for 40 hours instead of 32.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Let's hope it gets its what makes its way over here and very soon.
Please.
No,
that won't happen. Because Europe has their own kind of work culture there.
Yeah.
Give people like unlimited vacation time so they can take, you know, weeks off for vacation.
Mm.
And here we're like, I'm lucky to get 5 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't use them because we know we'll get people talking shit about us if we use them. That kind of toxic work culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Puritanism, it's just still so ingrained.
Yeah. Puritanism combined with just sort of reactionary sort of traditionalism, like, you know, it's that weird sort of thing. It's like where that for some weird reason they just without thinking have to automatically defend the status quo. Just drop of a dime, man. I had to go up where I had to work five days a week. You know, why is everybody else getting to do 4? Bitch, it ain't about you.
Yeah.
I think there was a video of a young woman who was talking about how little time she had after a 40-hour week, and then this guy, I think it was TikTok, responded like, 40 hours, that's a hobby. Because he works, you know, a 40-hour, you know, job, and then 30 hours on this side job and another 20 hours doing this, and then does something else for, you know, another 20 hours. And it's like, do you ever sleep?
Glorification of hustle.
Mm. Yeah. Other things where it's like, you're just somebody who does not know how to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like those people that like 12-hour shift jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if you can do it, okay, but don't act
not
like
without
this is
cocaine,
a normal thing.
Man. Right. Mm-hmm. The rest of us can't do that shit. We don't mm-hmm. want to. Stop pushing it on us.
Yeah. All right. And next up, the Food and Drug Administration has announced soy and other kinds of milk can continue to be called milk. And if you're wondering why they had to make this, it's because the dairy lobbyists have been trying to
unmilkify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, but also, the FDA's ruling kind of makes sense because they said that plant-based beverages don't pretend to be from dairy animals and that U.S. consumers are not confused by the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the least.
It's like, they're not that stupid dairy lobby people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because nobody thinks people are milking soy or cashews or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All that is basically water that's run through these things mm-hmm. in such a way that creates this milk-like substance.
Mm-hmm.
As well as they add their own stuff to it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, no, there's nothing really bad going on here. Because nobody's that much of an idiot.
No. But so that happened. And now we're going to enter into the entertainment portion of the show with the announcement that the Embracer Group and Warner Brothers are working on new Lord of the Rings movies. And my reaction is, please read another book.
Yeah, I don't like. Where are they pulling any other story from?
I mean, They could theoretically use the Silmarillion, I guess, but
that seems like you're squeezing blood from a turnip or something.
No. There's really, really a lot for them to go from.
Yeah, there is theoretically.
It's not stuff that we all want to watch.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But there is a lot. There really is a lot.
Oh, yeah. There's an enormous amount.
What we need is a continuation from the original movies that is just a slice of life anime of Frodo
so
and his
cool.
buddies chilling after saving the world.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be Frodo because Frodo goes off Gandalf. But it
I'm
would
sure
be like why. Sam and it would be like Samwise and all the others.
I mean, they would all hang out. That's not like he's gone forever.
No, he is gone forever.
Well, once he goes, yeah, he does go forever.
Yeah, he's gone.
All right, I don't know.
Yeah, not right now, though.
Him and Bilbo are both gone forever.
Yeah.
But yeah. They just want more money.
Mm-hmm.
They're mad that Amazon's making the Lord of the Rings money right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because The Hobbit didn't go well.
Oh, no, it did. The Hobbit made tons of money. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't as critically, you know, acclaimed as the original trilogy was, but people still went and saw it in droves.
Yeah, but they weren't the set pieces, the critical darlings that the Lord of the Rings were.
Yeah, I know.
That they can, you know, continue to sell literally two versions of that trilogy in any format they can get it into.
Yeah, true.
Because people will want both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to watch 20 hours.
I mean, I've done a marathon of them before.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like, just give it up. You've literally got tons of other properties, WB.
Seriously. Like, come on. But, yeah, so next up, Netflix is dropping subscription prices in many countries around the world. Before you ask, no, the United States is not one of them.
Yeah, North America and Western Europe are not amongst these.
Nope.
These are a lot of the smaller markets where the prices have been pretty expensive for what people make there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for example, in Venezuela, their single stream basic plan is now $3.99 a month versus $7.99. The two stream standard plan is $5.99 versus $10.99.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these places are getting big cuts.
Yeah.
About half the cost, if not more or less, depending on the area. But yeah, they are reducing pricing. And I imagine that's to get a lot more people on board in those areas.
Yeah.
Because here we're at much higher prices on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess technically for the top tiers, the highest of anybody in the streaming services. But you also get a lot for that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're going to get more people in, you know, Asian markets and African markets and all that.
Mm.
It gives them more reason to invest in, you know, movies and shows and such from those markets.
Mm.
Invest in a way that a lot of these other services aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of burgeoning, you know, movie and TV show markets.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there you go.
And next up, HBO Max is getting an It prequel series called Welcome to Derry. Which, okay.
Yeah, speaking of people with no original ideas. Like, people like those It movies, at least enough to pay for them. We should do more of that.
Because
why not?
Yeah.
I don't know what necessarily would be all about, but yeah, they... I guess we'll have more of the weird stuff because that the if you don't necessarily know what goes on in the book and all that, it's like the clown is part of like an alien race that goes back centuries or thousands of years or whatever
is
sort of continually fed on people over the years.
Yep,
it goes into like hibernation for extended periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
So conveniently, that's enough for kids to fuck around with it and then come back when they're adults.
Yep.
There you go. They're doing more of that because they don't want original ideas. They want more things based on properties people like.
Mm-hmm. And finally, last but not least, Succession is ending with season 4 at HBO.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
Yep.
They're ending that show, not keeping it running for much longer.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, the new season premieres March 26th, so
yeah,
I assume it'll be done by the fall at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
Probably done during the summer.
Yeah. So yeah, that show actually gets to have like an ending, which, you know, let's be honest, far too many shows do not get that. do not get that that luxury. They either go on for far too long or they end up getting shit canned before, you know, they can really make a proper exit. So fortunately.
Yeah, and then once the final episode releases, they'll remove from the service the next day.
Yeah.
And be coming in light screwed.
Yeah. But yeah, so I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. Yes, we do. We got ourselves a show. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got lists for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator that you can possibly conceive of. And if we're not there, just, you know, go get a snack or something. We'll be there when you get back. But yeah, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up there. Thank you for joining us this evening. Thanks once again to Chris and Teresa for joining me tonight. If you liked what you heard, please do not hesitate to share with friends, family, or mortal enemies that may hate you but may end up liking us. And after you tell them, I mean, we don't give a shit. I mean, we're not in the splash zone, so... Yeah, you're basically just the messenger here. yeah, so we're going to head wrap it up. Join us all next week when we will have a bunch more crazy shit to talk about. And, you know, hopefully maybe it'll be a better, brighter world. We can all dream, but it probably won't be. Life's a bitch. Good night, everybody.